Okay, with God's help, this coming Shabbos we get the chance to begin the study of the book of Vayikra. And so the book of Vayikra begins, Vayikra Moshe, that God called out to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rashi notes that prior to all commandments, Hashem first called with a Lashon Chiba, with a language of love, to encourage Moshe Rabbeinu. So Reb Chatzka Levenstein Zatzal noted that this style, which is unique to Jewish Nevi'im, as opposed to the Nevi'ei Ha'olam, it's unique to Jewish prophets, as opposed to the prophets of the world, involved the love of Hashem as opposed to the style that was used with things like, with individuals like Bilam, where the language is Vayikar. It's a process of Mikra, which is a process of Tumah. So Chatzko pointed out that the message here was meant to be clear. Not only is it important to deliver the message, but how we choose to impart it speaks to whether it will be received with Kedusha, as it was by Bnei Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu, or in the vacuum of Kedusha, which creates Tumah, as within the case of Bilam. Vayikra Moshe, starting off in the soft way, creates a positive essence. Vayidaber Hashem Elav Me'Ohel Moed, and then the pasuk continues to tell us that Hashem spoke to him from Ohel Moed. And Rashi notes that the call was in a voice that never left Ohel Moed. So, Rabbi Yehuda Amital quoted two different Gemaras, one which was a Gemara in Brachas Andav Chav Ches Amad Aleph, which talked about the difference of styles between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, a very common theme this time of year. And the other was a Medrash Tanchuma and Bechukosai and Os Gimel, where the Medrash also seems to suggest that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates not only the Torah of the inside, but also the Torah of the Rechov. So Rav Amital highlighted the fact that while Torah emanates from within, it needs to be outside of the Beis HaMedrash as well. Says Rav Amital, the outside voices need to be brought into the Beis HaMedrash discussion, and also the inside Torah must make it outside. And this was indeed Moshe Rabbeinu's intent when he experienced this unique phenomenon whereby the divine voice didn't emerge outward. Hashem spoke to him alone, privately, with no interruptions. But in general, says Rav Amital Zatzal, it is vital that the voice also makes itself heard outside. And it is vital that the voice also becomes apparent to all sectors of society, that this Kol Hashem is shayach to everyone. Not necessarily that everyone has a right to say whatever they want in their every place, but that everyone has a place within Heichalo. Okay. The Torah tells us in regard to the korbanos, Adam Kiakriv Miken, it needs to be lirtzono, it has to be brought willingly. And the Gemara in Krisis tells us that everything needs das, hakol tzrichim das, except for mechusrei kapara. And thus, when it comes to a mechusrei kapara, even a baby who can be made tor by being in the mikvah, even without kavana, and similarly the carbon brought for a mechusrei kapara can be brought without das, since it's a carbon brought to complete the tara process. So Rav Shachter Shalita quoted to us that we find actually the same thing is true beyond the four mechusrei kapara, the zav, zava, yoledes, and mitzora. We find that in Nazir, when his malos, when the period of time that his nazirus is up, it works in the same way. The karbonos are brought for the purpose of ending his nazirus, because it's a mater. And the same thing holds true for a ger who can't eat for karbonos unless he brings the karbon. And so Rav Shechter explained to us that this is the similarity that can explain the question of the Kesef Mishnah as to why the father who makes his son, who is a katan, into a nazir, can bring karbonos on his behalf without das. Because, as Rav Shechter quoted to us in the name of Reb Chaim, these karbanos are not being brought to atone. They're being brought to be an end in a process, and so they're like a mechusar kapara. But when one wants to atone, when one wants to have a tokef that through the process of his karban, he wants his karban to do something, so then a kol tzrichim das, then there needs to be das there in order for him to be able to do something. And that indeed is the message of Lirtzono Lifnei Hashem. We later read in the parasha, Lo sashbis melach bris elokecha me'al minchasecha, hakol karban chatakriv melach, the idea that a person shouldn't omit the salt of Hashem's bris from the karban mincha. And Rashi explains, what's this have to do? What's the salt in Hashem's bris? And so Rashi explains that there is a bris melach, There is a certain bris of salt that took place between the lower waters that was created on the second day of creation. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated the upper waters from the lower waters, the upper waters were able to be close to Hashem. The lower waters were upset that they were never going to get that chance. So Hashem promised that the lower waters would get a chance to serve Hashem. That the salt that they would produce would be used in the karbanos. That the water that they would use would be for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So the late Ger Rebbe, the Imre Emes, explains that the Zohar adds to this particular story. It seems that the lower waters wanted to be close to Hashem, and so they were consoled by Hashem's promise about the salt and the water. And this was a promise, says the Zohar Kadosh, that was meant to make a shalom between the upper and the lower waters. So the Imre Emes added that this is reason why the Pasuk says, Sham Yashavnu Gam Bochinu Bizachreinu Est Zion. What does it mean? Al Naharos Bava, by the shores of Bava, we also cried. What's the Gam? Says the Imre Emes, at the time, the waters from the rivers, and also the other lower waters, they cried with us. Because they also lost. They lost their chance to be close to Hashem when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We joined the waters at that point in time. They came first. Minchas Bikurim, the Torah also in the very next pasuk talks about a Mincha Bikurim, and Rashi notes that the Mincha Bikurim here refers to the Korban HaOmer, which comes from barley. Now why is the Omer brought from barley, which is identified as a Meichel Behemah? It just seems sort of strange. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal answered that Hashem is teaching us that it's not he who needs the Korban. If that's the case, he would have demanded the highest quality carbon. But rather, it's he who wants us to bring the certain carbonos at certain times to reflect our needs as a nosein, as the giver. And so, hence, at this particular moment in time, he insisted on a carbon of seorim, of barley, to prevent mistaking the need. A person shouldn't go ahead and misunderstand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs this. He needs the barbecue smell. He needs So therefore, the Karban Seorim, as the Karban HaOmer, provides that message. The Torah tells us later in the Parsha that V'zarku b'nei Aron ha-Kohanim es damo al mizbeach saviv v'nitacho solin sachav es rosho ves pidro, that Aron ha-Kohen's children sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. And afterwards, they bring the certain small pieces. It's only the carbon ola that's entirely burnt on the mizbeach. The chatas only has the chelev and the dam brought on the mizbeach. And why is that so? Why not have the entire carbon be brought on the mizbeach? So Rabelski Zatzal explained that the chatas is brought when one's yetzer hara bests him. That when the yetzer hara gets represented by a person's chelev and dam. The dam atones for the soul, because the blood energizes the brain and allows it to function, producing our thoughts and feelings, and regulating many of the functions of man. And so thus, the dam is the electrical current, so to speak, of the human body. It powers everything in the human. But every current needs to be filtered, and hence the role of the kidneys. Because sin clogs the human way that the fat clogs the circulatory system. So bringing the fats and the dam onto the mizbeach is the representation of the removal of things that withhold the building blocks that nurture our spiritual existence. The blood is elevated and the fats are destroyed, and the end result is a slimmer, leaner, and more powerful us. And so therefore, when it comes to the Karban Chatas, we get our instructions accordingly. We're told about certain karbanos on Bias Mikdash for somebody who's metami the Mikdash for Kalev, that what happens if it was hidden from him? The question has to be raised. What a strange idea. How could one forget that he was in the Bias Mikdash and defiled it with Tumah, which is what the Gemara in Shavuos on Daf Yidal and Amud Beis calls Hela Mikdash? How do you forget where you are? So Rav Yashiv Zatzal explained that when people spend so much time in a place, even in Makom Kadosh, they tend to forget the proper respect that they need to provide to the place. Same thing happens, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, that when a person tends to be around the Talmud Chacham too much, at the beginning he looks like a Kiton Shalzav, but in the end, Kivin Shenishbar, Ein lo takana, he gets destroyed. And this is why David HaMelech asked, not only Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai, that I want to live in the house of Hashem all the days of my life, but also Finally, we are going to read the Haftarah this week from Yishayo Anavi, and the Yishayo will declare, Ani Rishon v'Ani Acharon, that so to speak, I am the first and I'm the last. So homiletically, Rav Pamzatzal once offered a very, very sharp understanding as to how people approach tough situations in life. Rapam says sometimes people get afflicted financially. They say, wow, my financial situation is not good enough, and so therefore the first thing they do is they lower the amounts that they give to tzedakah. Because as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, ani rishon, right? I'm the first one to go. But when things improve, when the person's financial condition improves, the first thing to change back is not the giving. Usually people start to advance what they have, and they buy other things. The last thing that they buy into is giving more tzedakah. So it's ani rishon v'ani acharon. When I'm first, I rush to give the tzedakah. When I'm last, the last thing to improve is the status of tzedakah. Ideally, we shouldn't be doing this. Ideally, especially at this time of the year, Rapam pointed out, we always tend to read this Haftarah close to the time period of Pesach, when people need the tzedakah funds. We need to make it our business to make sure that we contribute appropriately, and we can emet Hashem bizocha to the understanding mi baladai in Elokim. Shabbat shalom to all.